Hello, church family. I will be reading Genesis chapter 2, 15, verses 17, and Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing of the eye, and so desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So she also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. Let God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Morning. The song that we just heard was special music. An excellent song. If you listen to the words, it's something that we all can use. The subject today is listen to God. And the question that I have is, do we really listen to God? Do we obey him? If I would ask any individual person, probably they would say, of course we listen. We do obey God. And the fact that God loves us, and we would all say we love God. That's my belief. I want to take a look at Adam and Eve. I don't know if you realize this, but Adam was not what created in the Garden of Eden. Maybe you know that. He was taken there by God. So now we have Adam and now we have Eve in the garden. And God, he loved them. He loved each one of us. The thing about it is we say, I don't think it, I don't believe there's anyone, I forgot what to say. Wait a minute. Can you hear? Oh, good. That's okay. I'll leave it alone. We say on a regular basis, we love God. And we should love God. And the thing is, like the title today, listen to God. And probably, I don't want to see any show of hands, but if I ask for a show of hands, probably many people out here, if not everyone, would raise their hand, of course. So God is the one we should listen to on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And going back to Adam and Eve, after they were created and put in the Garden of Eden, and did you realize that in the Garden of Eden, that they had, we think about the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. But do you realize there were many, many more trees there? Do you realize it was a lot of beautiful trees there? And God instructed them, look, you can eat of any tree in here except the tree of life and the tree, well, I take that back. The tree of good and evil is the one they were not to eat. And it was in the middle of all of these beautiful trees. It was in the middle of, they had a choice. And the choice was to listen to God, to obey God. And it was like a daily thing that took place. They are there. God is walking around, and he's talking to each one of them. He is giving them instructions, and they listen. They listen. And what happened? After they listened to what God was telling them, and especially about the trees in the Garden of Eden, and did it help? Did they really listen to God? Or did they say, well, we just tell him we listen because you can see the way it ended up. But they did something else. They did other things and not totally obeyed God. So in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, thou mayest freely eat. 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God just took time talking to them, trying to instruct them so that they would not get into trouble a lot of us get in when we don't listen to God the way that we should. I see a picture that's up here of Adam and Eve being there, God taking time on a daily basis to talk to them. Every day, a conversation. And they would listen, patiently listen. Nothing else really they could do but sit there and listen. And as God strolled through the garden, you know, talking and there, being there, being able to listen. And what happens to us is that a good deal of the time we do not, I think it's my own opinion, listen to God the way that we should. We do not obey him the way that we should. We really don't. You know, we do this, he said, do so and so, and you do this part. Either you choose, I think I'll do this, but that part, no, I won't do that. So what we are to do is listen to God. There probably has been a time that like the Holy Spirit to say, call somebody, you know, say call Mary or John or whoever it is, to call, and you don't do it. day after day, you get this urge to do this. I look at that as God speaking, as the Holy Spirit is landing strongly on our heart to do that. And a lot of times when you go and you say, I think I will call the person, and you call, and that is what they wanted. That is what was needed, you know. But of course, we didn't know. But I'm thinking of some, if God lays something on your heart continually, that's what he wants you to do. That's what he wants you to hear. In Genesis 3, well, first of all, we know what Eve did, okay? And Genesis 3, 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So, would you say that she really listened to God, what he told her? Yeah. You say, we listen. And it was overwhelming, the thought that she had. Boy, if I do this, then I will be as God. I will know. What was that? I will know between good and evil. That's it. And that was a big temptation. I feel there's a big temptation to Eve. And so she took of the fruit and gave it to her husband, and he ate as well. And think about this. Now, God had talked to them over and over and over. And Satan comes along, the enemy, and he tells her one time, only once, oh, don't listen to him. The only thing, you're not going to die. And she listened. And she did just the opposite of what God wanted her to do. Satan, and we have heard about the enemy, and we know that he is an enemy. And he really doesn't want us to listen to God. Don't listen to him. Do not listen to him. And you got so many people who will not listen to him. I was thinking about, I don't know how to tell the joke, but I'm going to try. Okay. This is a man. Let's say he wanted to be a Christian. He wanted to do everything that was right that God wanted him to do. So he'd been trying, and Satan was just getting the best. And he, over and over and over, Satan would continue to do, get the best parts, because that's what he would do, what Satan wanted him to do. But he desperately wanted to be obedient to God. Now, I know I got it mixed up. This is from Mr. Reed. You know how Mr. Reed used to tell jokes, okay? And at any rate, when he went to Jesus, he said, there was anything else he could do. He didn't know what to do. So he went to Jesus and asked him, "Will you please help me? I'm fighting this battle against Satan, and I just can't overcome. I can't overcome. So I need your help. So what can you tell me? What can I do?" And he said, Jesus said to the man, "You treat him the same as you treat me. Don't listen to a word he says." Which is true. But there are many people, we talk about Satan, and you know Satan is busy on a daily basis. But one of the things with Satan, he's always trying to take you down the path that leads to destruction, that leads to all sorts of problems. And if you'd be surprised if you talk to people, how many would tell you that the devil does not exist. And you, many people out there, I think if you talk to a few people and ask, you find that there are many people there who do not believe there is a devil. I remember this 17-year-old boy talking, and he said, "No, I guess maybe I asked him if he believed in Satan. I don't know how it came about right now. But at any rate, he says, "No, I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe there's a devil." And then he added, "If I believe there was a devil, and then I would have to believe there's a God." Angel went after one without the other. That was his thoughts. And there are a number of people like that. A number of people like that. Now think about Job. All of the things that Job went through, and God talked to Job, and he was supposed to be this perfect person. But in the end, what happened with Job, that God allowed the misery, what he has to go through, to happen to him. Satan came twice, and he allowed Satan to do this, but he was not allowed to take his life. Now, I'm going to read this. Is Job 42, I think it's 10 and 11. This is after all he was healed, everything. And say, "Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before all of this happened to him. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and everyone an earring of gold." Now, take note of the fact that, okay, after this is all over, all of your troubles are over, and then your friends come, okay. His brothers came, his sisters came, his acquaintances came to really comfort him. And what did she say? Take note of the fact that his brothers, sisters, and acquaintances, they blame God. Remember that? They blame God for what happened to Job. And the truth is, it was Satan. And you will find in many situations that this is what happened. People believe God didn't do it. Really, if you encounter people who are having difficulty, having problems, and let's say it's over, nearly over, and they will tell you, "God did it." I hear this so many times. God is the reason they're having the problems and the difficulties that they are. But we know that's not true. We know that Satan is very busy trying to get us going in a different direction. And we need to take time on a regular basis, daily basis, to listen to God, what he's saying. Because he is the one we can always trust. He is the one who loves us. And we do love God. Maybe not to the extent we should. But we do. And just everything he tells you is something that's right. He is not trying to lead us down the garden path. He wants what is best for us. He truly loves us. He is one that we can totally count on. Always, always. We don't have to try to figure out, wait a minute, maybe he is doing the wrong thing or telling me the wrong thing. He is always telling you what is right for you to do what is right. And I hope that we keep that in mind. And we have many examples in the Bible. That's one of the ways that he speaks to us. And also, as they say, in the experiencing God through circumstances as well, and prayer. So take time to listen and to realize that God is speaking to you to do the right thing. And to do that, to put forth the effort. It's not something that's really simple. You know, easy to do. It takes work. And that's what we need to do. Take work, to listen to him, to do what he tells us, and to do it when he tells us to do it. I was thinking about another example that someone had mentioned, the fact that you got this person and God say, okay, so-and-so, go over there and talk to that person sitting in the back there. And you think, well, honestly, you think about all the things you have to do. Wait a minute, I need to go and do this, or you need to go and do something else other than what God is telling you to do, you know. But as it was said, when God tells you to do a particular thing, and you say, you know, maybe you don't tell him this. Don't tell God you're going to do it now. But you still don't do it whether you tell him that or not. The point of the whole thing is that if it's delayed, if he tells you right now to go back there and talk to so-and-so or do something, and you say, yeah, I'm going to do it. But then on the other part, you mean you're going to do it when you get ready to do it. And they say, well, this, even though you went and you did what he said, but you didn't do it when he told you to. And they say, this is a form of disobedience, you know. So anyway, listen to God, because he's trying to lead us down the path that would lead us to his kingdom. Lead us to his kingdom, you know, and we know Satan what he is up to. So one thing I want to mention, and I'm not going to go on one more thing. Yes, that's the end of that. Make everybody remember that one more thing. Okay. But we should put forth the effort. I mean, I say we should listen to God, but I really think that we should get ourselves involved more, probably among ourselves, you know, and to help one another, to pray for one another, encourage one another, you know, encourage each other to listen when God speaks. And we've been told before that we are to make disciples who will make disciples. And that is a road I think we're on trying to do that, to be obedient to God to do that. Because he wants us to step up to the plate. So let's step up to the plate. and be the wonderful change that they were singing about. Okay. And I probably should have somebody praying for me. I'm talking about health-wise now. Okay.
Thank you for that message. I'm going to pick up right where Mom left off. Because sometimes what we look at is, we look at the fact that God, this is too hard for me. If we ever get that far. Because I dare say that some of us don't listen. Why? Because we don't know the voice of God. What does God sound like? Is it a big, bellowing voice? Kenneth, come. Or is it a nice little whisper? Kenneth, come. How do we know what the voice of God sounds like? I want to start by taking a look at one of the scriptures here in Genesis. Well, a little group of scriptures. It says that you will not surely die. But before that, God says you will surely die. And now they're hearing you will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So what this basically says is that, wait, hold on. So if I eat this, I don't need to listen to God. If I choose for myself what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, I do not need God to tell me what is right and wrong, or good and evil. I don't need my parents to tell me what is right and what is wrong, because I decide for myself. And doesn't modern scientists say the same? Modern psychology, you know, let the child choose for themselves. You know, they would know what to do. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, good for food. Oh, it tastes good. Pleasing to the eye. Oh, I look so good. And also desirable for gaining wisdom. And these are the things that we go after. We want to look good. We want to imbibe in those things that, you know, taste good. I didn't say that they're wrong. Right? And we're looking for wisdom. We are looking for knowledge. We are looking for understanding. We are seeking those things that we think would fulfill us. She also gave some to her husband, and he, well, notice it says that he was with her, and he did eat. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized that they were naked. Who told you you were naked? The interesting thing here is that when we're reading this particular passage of scripture, what we're seeing here is that man had other things to do. You see, man was distracted. Because what we're witnessing is God is saying, don't eat. You see, all of our lives we grow up, and I'm talking to kids now, we grow up in the presence of people who love us, who adore us, who sacrifice for us, because reality, it's a sacrifice to go out and work every day. Adults, is there anyone who just loves going out, in spite of the fact that you might like what you do? But do we actually get up every morning and say, yes, I love what I do, I need to get up at 5 or 4, or some people get up at 3 a.m. every single morning to go out? It's a sacrifice. Why? Because parents love kids. And parents work and train kids all of their lives. And then somewhere along the line, somebody comes along and says, nah, if you want to be somebody, this is what you need to do. If you think that you're really pretty and beautiful, then you need to show some flesh, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? If you believe that you're so cute And for guys, you know, some of those girls might come across to you and say, oh, you're so fine, you know, and then it pumps us up, right? We feel good because we like to be accepted too. And if you really want to continue this relationship with me, you know, we got to take this relationship just to the next level. Y'all know where I'd go? Okay. And everything that our parents been telling us, everything that our God has been telling us, now comes into question. Because how come such and such is doing it, and they appear to be prospering? I mean, mommy, you tell me that I cannot go out on a weekday night because it's school. But Cynthia and they go out, their parents let them go out on Monday night, and they're getting good grades also. So why can't I do it? My mom always says, you know what? Because I said so. But that might suffice when they're little kids, but as they grow older, we continue to walk with them and talk with them and work with them. But the issue here is, how soon are we so soon removed from the simplicity of the gospel that's been preached unto us? You see, things cloud our minds, things get into the way, right? We are hurried. The society has created this rush thing, right? And you add the rush to get things done, the rush to get to work, the rush, because some of us live quite a distance from the job, correct? So we mix that with the need or the desire for things that we may not be able to afford on our regular salary. And then we have to work overtime in order to pay for that 70-inch flat-screen plasma television when the 23-inch was working fine. You know, might have to close one eye to take a look at it, right? But it was working fine. So we are rushed and we are pressured. And then God is saying, seek me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you see all these things? I'll give that to you. But you got to want me. So we are distracted. Adam and Eve were distracted. After all of the time that God spent with them, the distractions set in. Now, I want to contrast that to a young man. A young man who was filled with God. And the interesting thing is that in the scripture it talks about, remember in the book of Matthew, when the little ones were coming to Jesus, right? Remember that? And the apostles were pushing them to the side. You know, you all are kids. Come on, this is an adult thing. You know, go play. What did Jesus say? He says, suffer the young ones to come unto me. Do not prevent them from coming unto me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I often wondered why. And yes, academically, I understand that, you know, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. But why? How come? And to answer that question, next week I'll have the answer for that question, right? But the point here is that here is an example of a little one. His name is Samuel. And I'll begin reading in Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. It says, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, he was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, so apparently it was just dwindling down, right? And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. Could you picture that? I just wish my kids would be like that, right? Michael, here I am. Kelsey, here I am. Oh, that'd be awesome. This was Samuel. The only thing he heard was the voice that said, Samuel, said, here I am. And he ran to Eli. He didn't kind of like mosey along, when I get there, I get there, you know. He didn't do his little strut thing, you know. He didn't come before Eli and say, sup. What he said is, what the scripture says is, he ran to Eli and he says, here I am. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back, lie down. So what did Samuel do? He went back and he lied down. Did he say, nah, you messing with me, right? You called me, you know you called me. I mean, who else is gonna? There was absolutely no doubt in Samuel's mind. He heard a voice, Eli said it wasn't him, go back to sleep. So Samuel went back. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, here I am, second time. You called me. And what did Eli say? He said, my son, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Then the scripture in verse 8, it says, a third time the Lord called Samuel. Now, right about now, some of us might be saying, well, you know what? This is probably not the Lord's voice. Because sometimes what happens in life is that we are called to do a particular task, and then we go out and do it and find that, it really didn't amount to anything. And the second time we thought we heard God, right? And then we go and we do what God says, and it really didn't amount to anything. And then when God calls us again to do his will, we start saying, well, probably I really wasn't hearing the voice of God. Maybe that wasn't really God. Maybe this was just Kenneth doing some type of psychological gymnastics in his mind. And, you know, he thought he heard God, but really he didn't. Maybe. I'm probably the only one that experienced that in here. Right? So God called him a third time. And we know what it says about three strikes, right? You're out. But what did Samuel do? It says, a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. Again, I don't get the indication that there's any hesitation. He got up, he went to Eli, and he said, here I am. You called me? Then it says that Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Three times. Unquestioning response to what he had heard, to what he had listened to, right? Absolute trusting that what he heard was correct. And without a doubt, following through on what he needed to do. Question comes up. Do I have that unwavering, unquestioning response when I hear from God? Do I doubt when I hear from God? Or put another way, if God were to come right now and speak to me, would I know it's him? Because some of us have this thing that we say, oh, well, I have a feeling, right? And we do have these feelings, we do have these movements, and sometimes we just don't respond to it. Sometimes we do. I've had the experience where I'm driving and then all of a sudden I get this urge, make a right turn or stop. And then we do it and find out sometime later that, you know, it's a good thing you stopped. Right? There are many reports of people hearing from God and actually listening. Some of them very drastic. There are these stories, I used to read them a lot, where this lady woke up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden she had this disturbance, you know, a stirring in her spirit, so to speak. And this stirring in the spirit told her, go into your child's bedroom and pick up that child. And then, like most human beings, we're not really, I need to go to sleep. And then it shook her. She literally felt the bed shake. She jumped out of bed and she heard the voice says, "Go now." She went into the child's bedroom, picked up the child, and then as soon as she picked up the child, the ceiling came crashing down. Now tell me that that's not God taking care of his people. You see, there are certain blessings that come from listening to God, but we got to know when he's speaking. You see, what the scripture talks about is the scripture talks about, you know, the Spirit of God witnessing with the Spirit in man. So quite often what happens is that we tend to be listening on the outside for this voice. We are looking for the clouds to roll back, so to speak, right? And you see, sometimes God don't work like that. Does he work like that? Yeah, and we've seen, what's the word I'm looking for? Examples of that. But God speaks in a soft voice. And I always will, and I will continue to say that I was one of those people. I couldn't hear God. And I told God, I said, "God, you made me this way. I'm stubborn." Sorry, the politically correct thing is strong-willed, right? "I'm a strong-willed child. You made me this way. I check stuff," right? "And you know that if you need to get to me, you need to speak louder because we got all this other stuff going on here, all of these distractions. You need to speak louder." And I'm talking with God, and this is how I'm talking with him. I said, "You need to speak louder because I can't hear you." I mean, is this your voice or is that me? And then I would always remember what came back immediately. He said, "Kenneth, I do not need to speak louder. You need to listen. You need to listen." And then what I did is I started to listen. Shut out the distractions. "Chloe, thank you. 7 minutes for 7 days. Shut out the distractions. Turn off the TV, switch off the radio." And I know a lot of us, we have this thing, we have these habits that we've developed where we cannot really concentrate unless there's some other things going on around us. That is such a bunch of nonsense. Really, it is. It's a distraction. We've learned how to be distracted and how to live in distractions. But once we shut off, I wanted to put my hand up and say exactly what I felt. And this is what I felt. I felt the presence of God. When I was on my knees in those minutes of total distraction, listening and not talking, because I don't know, I cannot multitask, okay? I cannot talk and listen at the same time, right? But when I'm there listening, it is so peaceful. I don't want to move. And sometimes I have to tear myself away and say, "God, you know, I gotta go. I really gotta go." And then I find myself 5 more minutes and 5 more minutes and 5 more minutes. It's like, I really gotta go. Please don't take this personal because I really, really love you. But, you know, I gotta go prepare this message, or I gotta go print up these year-end statements for your people so they could file their taxes. And he excuses me. But the thing is that in those periods of silence, it's me and him. It's you and him. Taking the time to listen brings blessings. You see, when we listen to God, we can't go wrong, can we? Right? Isn't it really, really nice to be able to listen to what God says, do it, and then find that life is nice? How would you like then to know the answers to everything that you're going to do before you actually do it? Right? How would you like to know, well, exactly what you need to do in order to accomplish a particular thing? And better yet, how would you like to be able to just sit back, do nothing, and everything happens for you? Y'all have experienced that? I remember there were certain times in my life where I say, well, okay, God, only you can handle this. This is a God-sized task. I cannot do anything. And God just says, okay, stand back and watch me work. I mean, I have testimonies where I told this one where someone was trying to actually get me fired, and then God says, stand back. I did nothing. They got fired. I just put it in God's hand. But you see, what happens is the natural tendency is, God, what do I have to do? I have to do something. No, we don't always have to do anything. Because what did God say? God doesn't lie, right? God says that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. What does that really mean? Because what God is looking for is he's looking for a relationship with you. He says, seek me. Seek me. I want a relationship. He said, don't worry about, you know, the rent that needs to be paid. Don't worry about the food that needs to go onto the table. Don't worry about the clothes, because look at these birds. Check them out. They look good, eh? Right? I did that. All those birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I mean, tell me, what is their occupation? Just what? Just be. I mean, how much money do they have to make? I mean, how much money does a whale have to make in order to feed himself? And God says, listen, I take care of them. I take care of all of them. All them my kids. You see, God is not absent parent, right? We are absent children, right? Because once we come into the presence of God, and once we learn to listen to him, life becomes so much easier. You have absolutely no worry. But you see, the problem comes up when sometimes people have this idea that, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask God for stuff, see if that works. Yes, there's a time when God says, you know, try me, test me, right? Pay your tithes and I will pour out on you a blessing that you wouldn't be able to receive it. Yes, God says, test him. But after a period of time, as the previous speaker says, we just got to listen. How much time does God have to spend proving himself to us? How many times do we have to prove, that's as parents, that we love our kids, right? Our way of being indicates that. God has proven his love to us time and time again, right? And as he continues to prove his love to us, there comes a time when we need to start believing. Even during those times when answers to our prayers come back in the negative, right? God, that comes down to trust, right? You see, listening to God involves trusting. And quite often, the reason why we don't listen, well, first of all, is that we don't know what his voice sounds like. But also, the reason why we don't obey is because, really, we don't believe God. We got to be honest. We don't believe him. You see, God, I don't believe that you can provide for me. Did I tell you all that story? When God says, Kenneth, you are going up to Chicago to Shepherd's Community Church. And then they told me the salary. And I said, God, well, I don't know. That's a big pay cut. And then God says, so what are you saying? I can't take care of you? And I said, okay. Right? You see, the issue is God is the one who's in charge. God is the one who pays the bills, right? Because God is the one who gave you that job. God is the one who gave you that car. God is the one who gave you the opportunity and the good health that you're experiencing, so you don't have to pay all of those medical bills, so that you can now go to work and get some understanding as to who he is. Because at work, we tend to see God. Because if we don't see God at work, we don't really do anything at work. Because it's at work that we work. It's at our jobs that we do God's job, if we would listen. Because God is going to tell us, you see that person there? The same person that cast you out yesterday? You all know what I'm talking about, right? The same person who stole your lunch from the refrigerator, right? The same employee who don't listen to you. That's the person that I need you to go and talk with. I need you to give me an introduction, right? Carol, give me an introduction. That's all God wants. He wants us to introduce him to people. And the more we listen is the more we're going to have those opportunities to introduce him to people. That's the beginning of discipleship. So the message today basically is pretty simple. Do we hear the voice of God? Do we recognize? And do we respond? My prayer is that we learn to recognize the voice of God. My prayer is that we learn to accept what God says. And thirdly, response. Because God says, if you don't do what I say, you're not of me. Right? It's that simple. Because what God is looking for, he's looking for that relationship with each individual. Because it is in the relationship that we start to know who God is. It's as we go through the relationship that we start to experience God, that we start to hear him. And as this relationship grows, what happens is that we grow also. Because it is impossible for us to grow apart from God. And this is one of the reasons why we take communion. Amen? Because we acknowledge that God is Lord of our lives. Right? We acknowledge that it is only through him that we know what is right and what is wrong. We don't choose for ourselves the tree that we would go, right? We don't choose for ourselves what is right and what is wrong. What we do choose is we choose God. You know, there's this this series of books, Red, White, and Black, that I listened to. Too much reading, I listened to. And there was one part of that series where the entity, right, basically says that you looked at everything else that was happening here. You looked at everyone else. You had the opportunity to do other things, but instead what you did is you chose me. How does that feel to God? And as we take these elements here, the bread and the wine, what God is saying is this, that the relationship that we are getting into, the relationship that we are in, the relationship that we are pursuing, and the relationship that we are helping our children pursue, this relationship is serious. This relationship is real. This relationship is signed and sealed with my blood, symbolized by the wine and the body that's broken for us, the body that's been whipped, the pain and the suffering that he endured as a human being, not only on the cross, but the emotional turmoil that he experienced as he lived as a human being on this earth, symbolized by the bread. The wine is his spilled blood for us. Also that we can become part of this relationship. And as we grow in this relationship, we grow more and more to listen, meaning to hear, and also to respond in the manner that our God desires. As the elements are being passed out, I just want us to focus on how much are we listening? Shutting aside all the distractions in our lives so that we can focus 199% of our efforts on our God. This is what we call laboring in prayer. Because sometimes it's a labor that it would take for us to focus on who God is. Lord God, our Father in heaven, it is in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we come into your presence, great God in heaven. We bow humbly at your throne, forsaking all so that we can chase after you, because you, Father, you've told us that when we seek you, that's the most important thing. So we seek you, great God in heaven, recognizing that you are the great God who's created, who sustains. And you, O God, want a relationship with us, so much so that you sent your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, to die. And we hold up here, great God in heaven, a symbol of that death, his body broken for us. And we accept this, great God, in recognition of all of the suffering that he has undertaken for us. So we now take this, great God in heaven, thanking you and thanking you, Jesus the Christ, Jesus our Lord, Jesus our Master, for your sacrifice. We also give you praise and honor that you have decided to call us friends, and that you love us so much that you shed your blood, Jesus. You gave your life so that we can live. And we accept your blood, we accept the body, we accept your sacrifice as the atoning for our sins. And we give ourselves totally to you. We accept this wine, the fruit of the vine. We accept this as a stamp, as a symbol of your covenant with us, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. That if we seek you, if we listen to you, if we obey you, then we can have a peace that goes beyond all understanding. And that relationship that we are growing in, that relationship that we are developing, great God, that this relationship is what would eventually save. Nothing that we do, but it's all about you, great God. So we thank you for it, and we accept this fruit of the vine as a symbol of your love towards us. So God, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. We look to you, O great God, as our lover, as our father, our brother and sisters. We look towards each other, great God in heaven, so that we can grow together in that unity and that bond of friendship and of love. So thank you, we give you all the praise and all the honor is yours. In the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.